Brady Saar, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services, Erskine. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Conan in studio. We'll have reports from Jamie Dickerman and Tyler Donaldson as well. There is a mix of snow and rain in a line from central Saskatchewan all the way south into northwest Wyoming at this hour. A mix of rain, freezing rain, and snow will be seen in the western Dakotas as we move forward. And as it slowly moves eastward, this system will be mostly snow. A winter storm watch is in place for most of the eastern Dakotas and western Minnesota, with blizzard conditions likely overnight and all the way into early Sunday morning. Winds also picking up tomorrow morning, making for difficult conditions for that cow herd and those newborn calves.
Congress will apparently avoid a government shutdown. The Senate will vote this afternoon on a continuing resolution to keep the government funded through the end of September. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said he will vote for the Republican funding bill because there was no other option.
Either proceed with the bill before us or risk Donald Trump throwing America into the chaos of a shutdown. This, in my view, is no choice at all.
Without the 60 votes to pass the CR, the government shutdown would begin at midnight tonight.
At a meeting in the Oval Office yesterday, President Donald Trump said he would not back down on tariffs with Canada. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Jamie Dickerman has more.
The president doubling down on his escalating tariff plans, even if his agenda continuing to rattle investors and contribute to a week-long stock market sell-off.
We've been ripped off for years, and we're not going to be ripped off anymore. No, I'm not going to bend at all. Aluminum or steel or cars, we're not going to bend. We've been ripped off as a country for many, many years. We've been subjected to costs that we shouldn't be subjected to. In the case of Canada, we're spending $200 billion a year to subsidize Canada.
Despite the escalating rhetoric between the two countries, Trump expressing admiration for Canada.
I love Canada. I love the people of Canada. I have many friends in Canada. The great one, Wayne Gretzky, the great. How good is Wayne Gretzky? He's the great one. But we have, I know many people from Canada that are good friends of mine. But, you know, the United States can't subsidize a country for $200 billion a year. We don't need their cars. We don't need their energy. We don't need their lumber. We don't need anything that they give. We do it because we want to be helpful. But it comes a point when you just can't do that.
President Trump went further, suggesting Canada would function better as part of the United States.
And to be honest with you, Canada only works as a state. We don't need anything they have. As a state, it would be one of the great states anyway. This would be the most incredible country visually. Keeping O Canada, the national anthem. I love it. I think it's great. Keep it. But it'll be for the state, one of our greatest states. Maybe our greatest state.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network.
Sign-up begins next week for the new USDA Emergency Commodity Assistance Program. Up to $10 billion in payments were authorized at the end of the last congressional session. Deputy Undersecretary Brooke Appleton said online tools will be available to determine payment rates.
ECAP assistance will be calculated using a flat payment rate for the eligible commodity multiplied by the eligible reported acres. And then payments are based on acreage and not production. So for reported acres such as prevented plant, the ECAP assistance will be calculated at 50%.
A group of farmers and environmental groups are suing the Trump administration over the freeze on Inflation Reduction Act funding. These farmers are part of a $300 million program to install renewable energy or energy efficiency upgrades. The farmers claim they have already made purchases and entered into contracts with contractors, and they will be unable to get that money back.
Another federal judge has ordered the reinstatement of fired workers at 18 government agencies. The Ag Department is included in that list. This court decision goes even further than a ruling earlier yesterday that forced the administration to rehire probationary employees.
The National Pork Producer Council and National Pork Board honored former Minnesota Pork Producer Association Executive Director Dave Preisler. With the Paulson-Whittemore State Executive Award, Preissler served 28 years serving in the leading the Minnesota Pork Group. Preissler grew up on a farm at Manoman, is a graduate of NDSU. He retired from Minnesota Pork in 2022. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. This week's USDA sales report surprised traders with better-than-expected wheat sales. HeartlandInvest.com certified trade advisor Eugene Grainer expects wheat to lead this market.
783,000 metric tons. They weren't expecting anything better than 500,000. So we're selling wheat on these break prices, and these funds, I think, is what you've got to watch. They start pulling the trigger on covering their shorts because they're losing money in the stock market. They're losing money in the energy markets, but something that they're losing money as well now is in the short wheat trade, because that is what they're short. They're long corn, lightened up on the corn, but they seem to be coming back in again.
Grainer says soybean prices are following the Brazilian real.
Place the Brazilian real, the Brazilian currency, over the top of soybeans, overlay it, and you'll find it's amazing. If it's going down, the bean pricing is going down domestically here in the U.S. If the real is going up like it bought in December, the bean prices get supported. So it's about Brazil being well beyond 50% harvested, which means the first part of the beans, they rush them off to exports because they don't have the capability of storing, you know, barely half of their bean crop. And now they're going to start squirreling away supplies. And so you're seeing a Brazilian basis that is phenomenally strong for this time of year, which, with the Brazilian real, supporting our beans. So for those that are wondering what's going on in beans, well, then they should be $9, instead they're $10. Well, that's part of the overall answer on that question.
The Money Farm owner, Allison Thompson, says the cattle market appears to have run out of buyers, finishing well off of highs.
This action has definitely been worth watching, or something pretty interesting you don't see very often. But with today's action, and if we see some continuation lower, it looks like it may be a blow-off top. Now, live cattle on that end, we did see a little bit more of a recovery. They did settle with some slight gains here for the day, while lean hogs did settle with some triple-digit losses.
Lean hog market has seen some very volatile swings.
Usually they trade the opposite of what cattle are doing, and I guess today it just decided to pick feeders and settled with that. But outside markets also kind of weighing on things today, too. We did see continuation to the downside across those markets.
An annual record of 252 calls for wolf management assistance was received last year in Minnesota. Kitson County had the second most complaints in the state. Representative John Burkle of Badger has authorized a bill to have the DNR prescribe an open season for wolves.
You know, they've already run out of money for fiscal year 2025 payments to producers who've lost livestock to wolves up, mainly in our part of the woods. In our neck of the woods, keep in mind there's elk depredation as well. So the fund actually, it floats between elk and wolf depredation money. And they've depleted both funds paying depredation to both wolves and elk. But in the specific case of wolves, yes, I've heard from many constituents back home and across the state, just more and more need to cover these depredation claims.
And Burkle believes there are more wolves in Minnesota than in all of the lower 48 states combined.
So I've got a bill that I'm going to drop here this week, actually today, that just takes out all that language and leaves it open. I think we need to have a discussion about how many wolves really need to be in the state. And of course, we still have to deal with the reality that on the federal level, they need to be delisted, which I'm anticipating will happen. But I think the wolf population needs to reflect a reality that our livestock folks need to see to really thrive. And it's obvious when this depredation account gets depleted so quickly, it's obvious we have too many wolves going on there.
During tight economic times, farmers are looking to help their bottom line, but it can be difficult with diseases and pests to manage. Bayer Agronomic Solutions Manager Randy Myers talks about the importance of identifying and managing diseases like scab.
It doesn't really need rain for scab to hit. You just need moist soil, and that is enough to be able to get this whole disease started. So you just need that moist soil conditions, and then you can get spore production. We also need to be cognizant of additional diseases that are out there. We got tan spot, septoria leaf blight, we have other diseases that affect the yield. The scab can affect yield, but it's more of a quality issue more frequently. And the yield component comes from the flag leaf, flag minus one. Those have to be protected because if those get decimated by the foliar diseases, your yield goes right down.
Myers says application timing is everything. Don't forget coverage next week from the International Sugar Beet Institute. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The increasing threat of tariff wars has many in the ag industry worried, but it's red meat exports that could face the most risk. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
According to the U.S. Meat Export Federation, Mexico, Canada, and China account for a little over 40% of U.S. red meat exports. USMEF CEO and President Dan Hallstrom says any additional tariffs or increase to tariffs on the three trading partners could be devastating.
We're coming in at 2024 at $19.1 billion in total beef and pork exports. And if you add up Mexico, China, and Canada, it's about $8.4 billion of that. So obviously very concerning at a very high level. But we'll have to just see how this all plays out because there's a lot of moving parts and it remains to be seen exactly what the potential impact is short term. Of course, long term, we're very hopeful that we can work through this and get through it with minimal impact on our exports.
Despite the tense trade negotiations, Hallstrom says there's still a lot of demand for U.S. meat.
As is the case with all of our markets, we're utilizing the whole carcass, right? And, you know, you look at China and Mexico in particular, there's a big focus on variety meats, both beef and pork variety meats, and a big focus as well on cuts that maybe aren't the most utilized cuts. You know, round meat is huge into Mexico. Of course, half of our hams are exported and mainly go into Mexico. So, yeah, there's a lot of reasons why there's concern here. And the other key point to remember is if there is retaliation, we're going to go from zero duty to something higher than that. Well, some of our key competitors that are knocking at the door have a zero duty, i.e. Brazil. So this is another reason we got to keep a very close eye on what's going on.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Nitrogen, certainly one of the biggest expenses in crop production. According to Azotic Technologies technical sales agronomist Travis Berg, nitrogen fixation is the conversion of atmospheric nitrogen into a form the plant can use.
Amvita is unique in the industry that it's a bacteria, the only one in the industry that actually goes inside the plant and fixes atmospheric nitrogen.
Berg says Amvita works to fix atmospheric nitrogen inside the cell, and that will continue through the entire growing season.
Farmers look at this product, such as Amvita. It's really your third source of nitrogen. Since it's in the plant, if the plant's ever stressed, whether that be water stress or nitrogen stress, Amvita is there to fill in the gaps.
Berg is based in Lakota, North Dakota. Checking markets as we speak, we're down 3.25 cents for Minneapolis wheat. The May contract at $6.50. Chicago wheat for May down 4.75. Hard red winter wheat, same contract, down 2.25. May corn, 6.5 down 4.58¾. New crop down 2¾. May soybeans, 2¾ down at 10.08. New crop beans down just a half penny. On the farm calendar, the Getting It Right in Canola Production webinar going on today. Going on through NDSU Extension. Have yourself a great day and a great weekend. Watch the weather. This is the Red River Farm Network.